Welcome to the show. Grateful to have your time. Help us, take us through the detail of Minister Bekele's plan.
Refilo, thank you so much for the opportunity. Look, I think we really cannot underestimate the police visibility and what impact it has, not only just on the morale of community members, but also on policing itself. We know that police blue lights are not necessarily going to stop crime, but they would deter some form of crimes that do occur, especially in common areas where people are likely to gather. We know that, especially where we had launched this country in blue concept over the weekend in Inanda, in KZN. I mean, this area, Refilwe, has reported the highest amount of sexual violence against women. You know, the highest amount of rapes happened in Inanda precinct. And we really hope that this, blue lights, where we are seeing police patrolling in areas where people are likely to gather, as I've said, likely to consume alcohol, because we know that according to our statistics, this is where the rapes and the sexual assaults are taking place. We hope that it will make a dent in terms of deterring the would-be criminals, but also just letting criminals know that police are around. So it's not just about stopping the crime, but also just making some criminals think twice about what they're about to do. And look, just going back to that tweet that you were talking about,
yes,
it's not necessarily reinventing the wheel. It's just making the wheel better and work faster. We saw in 2010 when this concept was really formulated, where we saw the highways and byways, the entry points and exit points of highways, where we saw that police vehicles with their lights on just stationed at these exit points. And this made such a huge impact, because what it really does, it means that when somebody has a distress call, you know, if they've had their house or their home broken into, their business or their vehicle was hijacked, police are quick to respond because they are there, they're visible. And we really hope that this is a sort of impact this sort of concept is going to have going forward.
Didonsu, let's just talk numbers, okay, because we know that we are undermanned. We're always talking about wishing we had more police. And of course, the stations themselves need to be manned. How does one effectively have a presence on almost every corner or common space while also manning the stations? Does this mean taking on more personnel?
Look, the minister was very clear when having his remarks or making his remarks on the launch that, you know, police stations can no longer be the center of policing. We cannot have a situation where South Africans, the only place where they can find help is at a police station. Police need to be visible on the ground, and police need to be very responsive to people's needs. And of course, it's no secret, Refilwe, you know, compensation, budget cuts, staff turnover means less human capital with a somewhat negative impact on policing visibility. And this is the very reason why we're doing such things, because this cannot be seen in silos. It should be seen as a broader community policing strategy, which really seeks to mobilize community patrollers, for example, who are going to be working closely with members of the SAPS. While we have not been able to recruit new police officers due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, no, this has been a problem since before the pandemic.
We've not been able to recruit police officers for the past 2 years, Refilwe, because of the pandemic. We would ordinarily recruit about 5,000 police officers each year. For example, we have an intake.
But still understaffed for the nation. So what I'm saying is the availability of sufficient police officers has been a problem it's a multi-year problem.
I'm trying to explain that point, which is an admission that, you know, we don't have the boots on the ground. And this is compounded by the fact that we've not been able to recruit about 14,000 police officers. But it doesn't mean that, you know, people sat back and folded their arms. What had happened is that there's been reenlistment of people, of officers, but also the intake of reservists. That we're seeing is going to help us going forward. But of course, we know that it's not enough. This is why we are trying to make do with the little that we have to make sure that policing isn't impacted. We know that, of course, when it comes to public confidence in the police, this is waning over the years. And this is one concept that we think is going to really assist us in restoring that public confidence, but actually people not only just feeling safe, but being safe.
Okay. So Khehla Sisulu, the Commissioner of Police, has been very candid about this to Parliament, about the fact that this is not just a question of 14,000 staff COVID or whatever, that the police force has been drastically understaffed by probably to the measure of hundreds of thousands for a very long time. But over and above that, those that we do have, there's an attitude concern that we have here. So there's a culture issue within the SAPS. So just putting them out on the streets could still take that terrible culture out onto the streets as well. I've got a WhatsApp coming through from one of our listeners, Zuki, saying, sorry to be cynical, but I'm not sure simply having police visible will change anything if they don't actually do anything. I have on many occasions seen infringements happening right in front of cops and traffic cops, not just infringements happening in front of them, infringements happening by them, you know. So we have this Charles Kinnear issue. We have the problem of trying to root out corruption and bad behavior within the cops. You've got this backlog with respect to the arms registry. You know, putting them sitting on the streets is not necessarily going to change the reports that we hear. You mentioned Inanda being a very high rape center. We hear from women who try to report rape and are turned away from by the cops, are not believed by the cops, treated insensitively by the cops. You know, what are we doing to change the attitude, the culture within the police force, first and foremost, to actually see them being active when they're out on the streets and not hopefully, you know, extending a violent relationship that they've had with the public in the past?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a fair point as well. The concept that we launched over the weekend is not, and it shouldn't be seen as a band-aid over the wound that exists. There are, you know, a variety of other measures that are being put in place. And I'll just touch on the most important ones, which is the sort of a treatment that South Africans often do get when they go to police stations. And it is a reality, Rifulwe. It's something that the police minister has been hard at trying to correct. I mean, if you listen to many of his addresses where he's, you know, talking to the police officer on the ground to say, look, it is not in your job description to give that service to police, to community members. But yet these things still happen. What then needs to happen is that the police management, and this is going to station levels, to prisons, they need to have a strong hand as to what are they doing to the police officers that are not doing justice to their code of conduct and to their blue police uniform. And this is really the basics here, because the police ministry and the police minister can say all they want, but if this message is not trickling down to the very ground, then we're going to be sitting with a problem like this. We know that we have Izimbizo. Izimbizos, we had one, the most recent one was in Inyanga, for example, Rifilwe, where we listen to community members and just taking what is it that we can do to improve the service that we are providing to them. And one of the things that they have raised, Rifilwe, is that they want to see more police on the ground. They want to see more police visibility. They want to feel safe when they're walking from the shops to their homes after when it's dark. And this is one of the reasons why then there is a strategy that has been launched. As I said, there's no way that we're going to use a band-aid over a bullet wound. But one thing for sure is that there definitely is a will to correct this organization. But at the same time, Rifilwe, we're dealing with 190,000 people that are working for the SAPS.
All right. Didanzi, when does this kick off?
Sorry,
you broke up there. I thought you'd stopped speaking. When does the Blue Light Initiative actually kick off officially?
It's already kicked off.
Oh, my bad.
It's already kicked off. So on Saturday, when we had the launch at 6 p.m., all the lights, not just in KZN, but across the country, should be switched on from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And this is something that's going to happen throughout the voting, as we approach election day, but also throughout the festive season and beyond. And we really hope that this is going to make an impact. And if they're not seeing this impact, residents really should raise their hands and raise their voice to say, look, we're not seeing this happening, what's going on, and demand those answers, because essentially there needs to be accountability from the police ministry and from the police management.
Certainly so. Didanzi Themba, thank you so much, police ministry spokesperson. You tell me, guys, 021-446-0567. Did you feel safer this weekend as of Saturday, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.? Let us know or send us a voice note on 072-567-1567.